Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Purdue has done it again, knocking off a top five opponent and dominating Michigan State on Saturday. Now the Boilermakers get yet another opportunity as they travel to Ohio State. We'll break it all down, plus preview the start of the basketball season that's coming up on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charter is here with Tom Dienhardt. We'll talk to Brian Newbert in a couple of minutes. Tom, Purdue did it again.
Yes.
They beat Michigan State. Not only beat the Spartans, but really dominated the Spartans, took control of the game in the third quarter, which has sort of been the formula, aside from in the Wisconsin game when the Badgers owned the third quarter and took that game over. But it's a formula that's working for Purdue, and it worked again on Saturday. Purdue was the better team, at least on that day, and it got itself a 40-29 victory.
Yeah, I don't know if that game was ever really in peril. I mean, I guess there was a little bit of concern when Michigan State scored late to cut it to eight, and, you know, if Purdue handled the ball right back to them about 5 minutes to go in the game, you know, who knows, Spartans going to march back down and maybe forge the tie. But again, like you said, they were pretty much in control throughout. And, yeah, just the uncanny ability of this team to rise to the occasion against these highly ranked squads. Again, uncanny. And here we are. We turn the next corner, and there's number six, Ohio State, in the AP poll. And another opportunity for the Boilermakers. Kyle, I think you would agree this mountain is probably the tallest of any Purdue will have faced to this point. Winning in a horseshoe, just a Herculean task. Purdue hasn't done it since 1988. But
yeah,
you're familiar with this trivia. The last time Ohio State lost a Big Ten game, 2018, to the Purdue Boilermakers. They won 24 straight since then. So, again, the Buckeyes are the heavy favorite. I'm sure the Ohio State fans are probably sweating bullets just a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I think one of the most impressive things about Purdue is – its ability to respond. And it hasn't been just a one-game thing, but, I mean, it did it again, even in the game against Michigan State. The Spartans scored 14 consecutive points, you know, cutting the deficit from 21-7 to tying it up at 21 early in the third quarter. And that second score came after Purdue fumbled the ball with a fairly reliable guy in Xander Horvath, putting it on the ground. Michigan State comes back, but it just doesn't seem to rattle Purdue. I mean, Purdue just responded and got the game back in its favor. And then from that point on, really pretty much had the game in control.
Yeah, again, I guess you got to credit some of the internal leadership among the players for keeping everybody on the rails, so to speak, when maybe you're hit with adversity, that punch in the nose that could throw you off the tracks. Like you said, they responded well many times this year. Especially defensively, sudden changes and whatnot. And I'll tell you what, Kyle, that defense, turnovers continue to come, right? Two more takeaways. It gets 12 in the last four games for the Boilers after having just two in the first five. They're still affecting quarterbacks, getting them off their mark with pressure. And, they're certainly playing well. But more than anything, of course, the big headline has been the reemergence of the Purdue offense, right? I saw your tweet on social media, maybe opining if we didn't just witness the greatest passing performance in Purdue football history, which is a heck of a mouthful, but you probably could make a case for it again. This offense, it's hard to think, Kyle, there was a point in time where they were scoring 13 points four times in five games. Now, with the running game seemingly figured out to a degree, O'Connell hotter than a firecracker, David Bell rolling, again, this offense has to have a lot of confidence as it heads toward Columbus here.
Yeah, you definitely can build a case for O'Connell. I mean, he was just excellent. 40 for 54. What's amazing to me about that performance is you throw the ball 54 times, you don't turn it over once. I mean, 536 yards, three touchdowns. There are other great games. Breeze, perfect game against Minnesota years ago. He was 31 of 36 in that contest. Of course, Kyle Ord had a couple of really good performances against Indiana and Ball State. You know, you got to go back to a different era, Bob Greasy, in the 60s, a victory against Notre Dame. He did have a turnover in that game, but, well, I think it was 19 of 22. But, yeah, I mean, considering all the circumstances, Aiden O'Connell's performance was a pretty good one. The offense was clicking better than it really has all season. I mean, I thought Purdue's running game was better than the numbers even sort of indicate because, you know, late in that contest, they got a couple of nice runs. I think one from Jackson Anthrop and definitely one from King Doru when they were trying to, you know, wind the clock just a little bit when they were leading by 8 before they tacked on that last field goal to get the margin a little bit more comfortable. And then, you know, they ran the ball okay in the red zone a couple of times, which I thought was key. And then all of that, in my opinion, sets up the trick play that worked to perfection. Trick plays, in my opinion, don't work if you can't run the football at all. And I think the threat of that reverse, you know, made that play happen. And, you know, so Jeff Brohm sticking with the run and having a little bit of success with it, I think opened up the passing game for Purdue.
Yeah, excellent point. I think if you subtract the lost yardage on sacks, you had, I want to say, 71 yards rushing. So no doubt the return is Xander Horvath has helped the last 2 weeks. The use of Jackson Anthrop a little bit more frequently as a ball carrier certainly helped too. King Doru, I think you would agree, has played very well the last 2 weeks as well. So, and again, they're still trying to strengthen the quarterbacks a little bit. Not that much, no. They're sort of getting faded out at this point. But again, they're really getting more out of that ground game. Like you said, it gives the entire offense a heck of a lot more, I guess, deadliness, if you will. And Kyle, too, the big plays were coming fast and furious Saturday. And that was something that Purdue really slogged along with for a long time. David Bell had 250-yard catches, I think, and about a 40-yarder. Guru had a long screen pass for over 40. Answer was for 39. Again, the big plays, again, that element had been lacking. And it was very apparent Saturday they were hitting the big ones. And we all know this offense, any offense for that matter, if you can hit those big plays, it sure does make a life a lot easier. So I'm sure at this point, every play on Jeff Brohm's call sheet is probably looking pretty good, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Defense again plays well. You know, gave up some yardage. There were a couple of breakdowns. The first touchdown for Michigan State, you know, Peyton Thorne scrambled around a little bit, bought himself some extra time. His long scramble, too, for a touchdown was ugly in that game. But really, for the most part, you know, Purdue kept Kenneth Walker III in check. You know, he hit his averages. I think before the game, if you would say, would you take him just hitting exactly his averages for the season, would you take that? I think you definitely would because there was never an instance, you know, he had a couple good runs, but there was never an instance where you just felt like he was just murdering you out there. And so it was a pretty good performance again by the defense.
Yeah, about 146 yards rushing, a couple 30-yard runs, I think. Yeah, he looks the part. He was the part. He is the part. Hats off to him. You know what helped more than anything, Kyle, with keeping him, I guess, right at his average was ball possession by Purdue. I mean, once
yeah.
again, like at Nebraska, I think they had 85 plays. Michigan State had 63. Time of possession was like 36 minutes to 24. And again, third quarter especially, I mean, Michigan State did not have the ball. Defense had a couple three and outs, credit them too. But again, the offense was able to possess the ball for long durations, long stretches. Now, one three and out all afternoon for Purdue's offense. Very impressive, I thought. And you can go back and look at the drive chart, and you'll see a several double-digit drives. So, again, they kept it away from Michigan State for long stretches. And that certainly helped let Kent Walker cool his heels on the sideline while Purdue went to work and built that lead. And then of course, hung on with those late field goals to ice it away.
Can Purdue beat Ohio State?
Yeah, again, it's going to be tough, buddy. Maybe about a three-touchdown underdog. And the Buckeyes, they're to a degree, they're a work in progress. They're still the most talented team. Now, no breaking news there. They always are every year in the Big Ten. Again, a tall task. Purdue, again, has no pressure, right? You always like playing
yeah.
from that seat. So they can go in there loose and free, kind of house money game for them. If they win, wow, they're a national story again. And maybe, Kyle, you can really look at this team as being a serious contender in the Big Ten West. They're in it now, but the odds are long. But a win at Ohio State, wow, who knows, your possibilities become pretty pretty substantial then. So they can. I think it's going to have to be a high-scoring game. Again, this offense is playing as well as it has all year. You like that if you're Jeff Brohm. Maybe you can go in there and outscore them. Get in a game where you're trading touchdowns, the first team that blinks loses. Maybe Ohio State has four or five turnovers. It's going to take something like that. There's a lot of Ohio State mistakes. Turnovers, maybe a Purdue defensive touchdown, and Aiden O'Connell continuing this hot streak where he's completed 74% of his passes in each of the last four games. I think a cocktail that includes all those things could give Purdue maybe a shot to pull off this shocker. And without a doubt, again, the first win over there since 1988, I mean, this would really send reverberations across America. Deep six in Ohio State's hopes for a playoff spot, I think, for sure, with the second loss of the season.
Hey, Purdue's got a rep for doing it already this year. I mean, it has I don't think Iowa was ever going to make it through the season, but there was talk about Iowa being in the football playoff and about Michigan State. Now, Michigan State could still, you know, recover to get there because somebody's going to come out of the East, one of those, you know, three teams, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State. It seems pretty evident. But Purdue's got another opportunity, and you're right. What is there to lose? I mean, Purdue's already gotten to six wins, has a real good opportunity to get to seven or even eight, even if it does not beat Ohio State. So Purdue's sitting in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, again, a season nobody anticipated. We'd be talking about eight wins being on the table as we get ready to rake leaves in early November, but here we are, my friend. The sweatshirts are out, the pumpkins are out, and getting ready to go buy our turkeys, and we're talking about maybe Purdue winning eight games. So, yeah, win or lose Saturday, it's still shaping up to be a real fun season. And, man, people can start making their bowl plans too, Kyle. Maybe New York City or Las Vegas or Phoenix. I mean, the possibilities can roll through everybody's heads as we run through these last 2 weeks of the 2021 campaign.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get Brian's thoughts on the football victory and the season. We'll also talk some basketball, of course, with Purdue's season opener coming up on Tuesday. That's coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brohm Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket cost for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
A big week, too. The Boilermaker basketball team opens its play on Tuesday. And, of course, as we've been talking about, Purdue football headed to Ohio State for a big matchup against the Buckeyes. Kyle here with Brian. Brian got talked about a lot on Saturday, of course. Purdue now has as an unranked team, beaten a top five team 17 times all time, which is an NCAA record. It's done that over, you know, various eras of football, from Saturday to 20 years ago to 50 years ago. Why do you think that is?
Well, the easy answer is you have a lot of opportunities in the Big Ten, for one thing, but also, you know, Purdue historically has had Notre Dame on its schedule every year, and so Purdue's had more opportunities than a lot of schools. But that being said, that's not to take anything away from what they've been able to do as a program historically. I think – I don't know if you can – what I would say in terms of causation, other than the fact that Purdue's had a lot of great quarterbacks come through the program over many, many, many years, and, you know, quarterback play can always be the great equalizer when, you know, things otherwise might be a little bit one-sided. So that's what comes to mind. But the biggest part of it is simply the fact that Purdue has more opportunities than a lot of other programs, because historically you've been playing Notre Dame every year, you get Michigan every year, you get Ohio State most years, you know, things like that. Michigan State historically has had some really highly ranked teams and, you know, things like that. So that's the first part of it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're right on the quarterback play. I mean, you know, as you said, a great equalizer. Purdue certainly got really good quarterback play out of Aiden O'Connell on Saturday. I mean, he was excellent. And, you know, I think Purdue plays with a little bit of confidence when it's getting a quarterback that, as any team does, that get a quarterback that's playing that well. Purdue now at six victories. You know, it doesn't have to win Saturday to be able to have a season in which we didn't really anticipate before it started. Purdue can get the seven victories. It could get to eight. I suppose if it won on Saturday, it could get to nine or maybe even 10. Purdue's put itself in a good spot by, you know, improving as the season has gone on. It's got the six already. It's having a good year.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about like 6-6 as the benchmark for success, when really, you know, the way college football's changed, I don't know anymore if that's necessarily true, especially, you know, where Purdue was a couple of years back. You'd ideally like to, you know, aim a little higher, which I'm sure Purdue has been, but obviously you have to start somewhere. And after the past two seasons, 6-6 by itself still would have looked pretty good. Because it would have represented a little bit of a turning back in a positive direction. But Purdue's going to go, obviously going to go above and beyond that. We don't know how they're going to finish up the season here, but this isn't going to be one of those deals where you have to win your last game to kind of sneak in. There's not going to be the pressure on Purdue here these last couple of weeks to win a game to make sure that, you know, you're able to meet that bare minimum. Purdue's already there. And as I've written a couple times, it kind of credibly gives Purdue a chance to kind of think bigger than just, you know, sneaking into a bowl game and stuff like that. Purdue, you know, is still in the race for the Big Ten West here. Crazy, you know, crazier things have happened. You know, theoretically you could get to a, you know, one of the higher end bowl games and things like that. So Purdue has put itself in a good position just simply by virtue of the fact that it's clear that bare minimum this early, and now can kind of set its sights on something bigger. Now I'm sure they're focusing more on the day to day than the final result here, but obviously we have to talk about something here. But Purdue's in a pretty good position here to have a final result this season that would represent something pretty significant, when especially consider the context of how much the program's momentum has been stemmed here the last 2 years, largely by circumstance.
Let's talk a little bit of basketball. The Boilermakers opening the season on Tuesday against Bellarmine. I guess, what are you looking for coming off the exhibition game as Purdue gets its season started?
Just how sharp they are, I guess. You know, I think this is a big season for Purdue in terms of maturity, professionalism, kind of things like that. You just want to see them be sharp. Obviously, you want to see teams be sharp all the time right out of the gates, and that's not always a realistic expectation because for a lot of teams, there are processes involved here. And, you know, I do think there is going to be a little bit of a process involved for Purdue because, you know, they are playing a lot of players here, and I might be making too much of that, but I do think that it could take some time for guys to understand that guys who might otherwise be starters, I mean, you know, for crying out loud, Purdue brought an All-American off the bench to start the game the other night and brought a potential All-American off the bench in the second half. It might take a little bit of time here for guys who under a lot of circumstances would be 25-minute leading scorer
mm-hmm.
types of guys to understand that the value they can bring to this particular team might lie somewhere else, you know, kind of things like that. And for guys to kind of get into rhythm, so to speak, in terms of the roles they're going to end up playing. But you would like to see Purdue, you know, kind of be sharp out of the gate here. They have every reason to be. They've got, you know, so much, you know, experience. That doesn't necessarily mean they're all seniors, but they are a pretty experienced team. They're certainly talented enough. And in games like Tuesday nights, you would like to see them, you know, be pretty sharp out of the gate and kind of leave no doubt here. So I guess that's what I'd kind of say is that you would like to see them kind of come out with an edge and, you know, look highly motivated and look really well prepared and kind of all that stuff. Just sharp is probably the best way I could put it.
We'll be watching the four spot, the four position for Purdue a lot, especially here early on in the season. Of course, Mason Gillis won't play in these first several games. Caleb First, it looked like had a pretty good game, at least offensively, in that exhibition. Hit a couple of three-pointers in the first half. He looks like a veteran player, even though he's a freshman, and I think could thrive in a situation where he doesn't have to be the go-to guy. What did you think about his performance in that position in general here as we get this season started?
Yeah, that's the position you're starting a freshman on a team full of experienced guys, and I think that position's, you know, one of the least of your concerns because I think he's kind of a plug and play guy. I think he's just he's already, you know, kind of a known commodity. Now that doesn't mean he's going to be perfect right out of the gate. There's still, I'm sure, a lot he has to learn, a lot he has to adjust to. But I think he's one of those guys that's just so damn steady, you know, and so. So mm-hmm. solid, and I think that's kind of always been his thing. He's not been the most exciting player in the world. You know, he's not been, as a basketball player, he's not been the sexiest player in the world, you know, for lack of a better term. I really could have come up with a better term there. But I just think he's one of those guys who's so smart and so tries so damn hard and, you know, things like that, that when you're those things and you're talented and you're physically gifted, you know, productivity kind of finds you. And I just don't think there's any concern there. I think, you know, I don't know if he would have been starting at that position had Mason Gillis been available. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't have been, but I just think that's a situation where I'd be kind of surprised if that turns over again at any point this season. You know, obviously a long season. We have no idea what's going to happen from here on out. But, you know, he isn't in that position by default. He's in that position because he earned it, because he's good enough to do it. He's solid enough to do it. He seems like he's prepared enough to do it, although, you know, it's never easy as a freshman, and it won't be easy for him. But I just think he's a plug-and-play type of guy. I don't think there's a whole lot of concern there, which is a really, really – uncommon thing to be saying for a freshman on a team this good.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice because that is the spot where you have some youth and, you know, where there's a lot of veterans elsewhere and you don't feel like it's a huge concern. And for Purdue, the four spot has always been a very important spot, you know, in what the Boilermakers are trying to get done. And so, you know, it will be again this year. It'll just have a player that's a young guy there. But he's got some talent, and he plays with a maturity, which is a good thing to have.
Yeah, Purdue hasn't played this big very often. They did the year with Evan Boudreaux at the four. First is probably the Evan Boudreaux, you know, 2.0 or, you know, perhaps even 3.0. All due respect to Evan Boudreaux, who was a good player at Purdue. But I think he gives you something different than you had with the Vince Edwards and the Robbie Hummels and whatnot. In that you can use him a little bit on offense to post him up too. You saw a couple of times against Indianapolis a 5-4 entry in the post to take advantage of a matchup. You saw him. I think he's getting more comfortable, you know, shooting threes and acclimating himself a little bit to looking for that shot. He never had to do that in high school. He always looked good shooting the ball. He just didn't because he didn't need to. And I don't know how much sense it made when he was a 6'10 guy being guarded by 6'4 guys and, you know, could basically do whatever he wanted around the basket. I think he's really going to help Purdue with his mobility. I think he's really going to help Purdue with his tenacity on the glass. I think in time he's going to be a big-time rebounder at Purdue. I think he's doing a good job defensively relative to, you know, the transition he's making because he's never really had to guard away from 3 feet from the basket before. And I just think I think over time you're going to see more and more of what he's all about in terms of his passing, his ability to move, his skill level, his intelligence. Right now, he just needs to be a complimentary player. But come next year, come the year after that, I think you're going to see this guy be, you know, a really high-level Big Ten basketball player.
Yeah. It gets started on Tuesday night in Mackey Arena. Should be a great atmosphere. We'll look forward to the game. Talk to you later, Brian.
Yep. See you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. That's next on Golden Black Radio.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And much more on the website at goldenblack.com as we hear from Jeff Brom, his press conference on Mondays. That will be up on Monday afternoon. And, of course, previews of the Purdue matchup against Bellarmine coming up on Tuesday evening. Be sure to log on to goldenblack.com. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. For Tom Dienhart and Brian Ubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.